Acts chapter number 17. So I'm coming through the hallways here, and I got inundated with water. I know it's hot. I guess we need to stay hydrated. It's the message given to me. Acts chapter number 17. We'll pick up in verse number 1, Acts chapter number 17, and verse number 1. It says, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went into them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed, and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews that believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, 'These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus.' And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things, and when they had taken security of Jason and of the others, they let them go." Let's go ahead and pray and see what the Lord has for us today. Father, Lord, I thank you so much for your goodness, Lord. I thank you for this passage of Scripture. I thank you for the thoughts that you've put in my heart, Lord. I pray that you to help me to convey those things accurately, Lord, and be with my lips, be my thought processes, Lord. I pray that you will put things together in order in the way that you desire, Lord. I pray that that it wouldn't just be vain words up here, Lord, but that you would communicate your message to your people, Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. All right, so let's go ahead and talk about what's going on in this particular passage. We see that Paul is on his second missionary journey, and he's traveling with Silas, and they come to Thessalonica, and they start to preach Christ like they do as the Bible says here, as the matter of Paul was. They went to the synagogues and they preached Christ. And so it's my mic on. It is not on.
It says 101 battery sign. Some other numbers, I don't know.
We'll just stand close to this, I guess, until we figure it out. All right, we're just going to stand close to this, apparently. I'm going to speak loud. I don't know. It's probably my fault, but that's right. But they're in Thessalonica, and he's preaching Christ just like he does all the time. And with the people, there's 2 basic responses. One of the responses was that many come to Christ. Of the chief women, the Bible says, not a few. There's a lot of people, a multitude of people come to Christ because of the preaching of Paul and of Silas, of Paul in the synagogues. But there was a second response. There was a mob of people that just got angry. They got mad at what the preacher was saying. They got mad that they were, as they said, teaching something that Caesar did not decree, something other than that there's another Jesus Christ. They got mad at that. It got so bad, and that if we drop down to verse number, I believe it's verse number 14 or something like that, we see that they got so mad that after Paul and Silas left the city, went into Berea, they came along chasing after him. Hey, that's that's getting mad, getting upset about the preaching. But what was their accusation? What was they saying was wrong with this whole thing? It says in verse number 6, "These that have turned the world upside down have come hither also." That was the problem. They're making a difference. They're making a change. Let me ask you this question. How does a jeweler test that for a diamond's authenticity? How does a jeweler test that a diamond is real? Well, they use the scratch test, right? How many of you know what the scratch test is? Raise your hand. They take the diamond and they rub it on a piece of glass, and if it leaves a mark, it's a real diamond. If the diamond is able to change the environment around it, it's a real diamond. So it is for a Christian. A real Christian changes the environment around it. It makes a difference. And that is exactly what was happening here with Paul and Silas. They were making a difference in the world around them. They were changing it for the cause of Christ. Question for you. How are you changing your world around you? How is it that the world around you is different simply because you're doing what is right and that you're in it? That's what Christians should be. And we must embrace the need and become a difference maker. Why do we need to be a difference maker? Point number one, if you keep in notes, if that's your custom. The mess for the difference makers. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. There's a mess. The condition of the world is just a mess. There's a need for you to make a difference in your world. There's a need for you to stand up and do something about the situation that is going on. Why? Because the world is a mess. The world is wicked. We see in verse number 4, it says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the eyes of them that which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." So we see this character, the God of this world. Who is that? Well, it's the devil, right? The God of this world has blinded their eyes. You know, the world is following the devil. The world is all about what the agenda of the devil is. If you go to 1 John chapter number 5, we're going to be picking up a pace a little bit. 1 John chapter number 5. And we'll look at verse number 19. First John 5:19 says this, "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in what? Wickedness." What does that mean? The world's a mess. It's wicked. It's sinful. It's dirty. It's the whole world is lieth in wickedness. In Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 12, we see that the world is without God. They go about their life without God, without even a remorse for God. And 1 John chapter number 2, go there with me. 1 John chapter number 2. Verse number 16, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, these are not of the Father, but is of what? The world." All that is in the world. These are the things that are in the world. What is that all? It is the lust of flesh, the lust of the eyes, pride of life. And all these, not of God. They're opposed to God. They're the opposite of what God wants for us. The world is diametrically opposed to Christianity and our views and our, what we believe and what God tells us in His Word is opposite of that. And there is a mess out there because of it. The philosophy of this world is not friendly. The Bible tells us that don't be surprised when the world hates you. Why? Because the world hated him. The condition of the world is that of degradation, is that of no remorse to the things of God. It's just simply a mess. Not only is that a mess, but the condition of man's heart is a mess. Jeremiah chapter number 17, verse number 9 tells us that the heart is desperately wicked, right? It is wicked above all, deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked is the words that the Bible uses. It is wicked. Go to Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter 1 paints a terrible picture about humanity, those that were God. In verse number 18, I'm sorry, verse number 19. Because they which may that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God hath shewed it unto them. For the invisible things of them that are from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image like unto corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up unto uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. They changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. And if we read through the rest of the chapter, we'll jump down to verse number 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit. And we have this list, and it paints a terrible picture of what man is left without God. And every time I read this passage, I cannot help but think about the society that we live in today. I cannot help but think about the controversies that are coming across our pike today. My mother-in-law works in the nursing industry. She teaches other nurses. And the conversation about her classes and the mentality of the people sitting in her classes are that of, she has to be very careful of what she says. And it's not, even if what she says is true, she has to be careful how she says it, who she's saying it to. Pronouns is a big deal. Why? Because people know the truth. They refuse to acknowledge the truth. They've put away the things of God, and in their own minds, they've become, as the Bible says, they become fools. They have corrupted their own hearts. And the Bible tells us in verse number 24 that God gave them over to their own uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. You know what this all boils down to? Man, it's a mess. He lives in a world that is wicked. He lives in his own heart is wicked. And the worst part of all is the consequences of sin. Because of all these things that are written here in Romans chapter 1, what is the end result? The end result is hell, right? The end result is that one day they're going to be plunged into the lake of fire to burn forever and ever. And whose fault is that? It's their fault. They've chosen the wickedness of their own heart. They've chosen the pleasures of sin for a season. And it's their own fault. So for all of eternity, they'll be burning because of the decisions they made. Hey, there's a need for difference makers. There is a need for Christians who take have the truth and do something about it. Not only is hell, that's the worst of it, but as they're living here on earth, what is the effects of sin? Someone once said, sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you're willing to pay. That's what sin does. Yes, there's a treat at the beginning of it. It's fun for a season, but what ultimately is going to be the cost for it? Well, a destroyed life. And we all have stories of people that have plunged into alcoholism or drugs or whatever it is, and we see how the life around them has crumbled because of sin. You know what they need? They need a difference maker in their life. They need somebody with the truth that will be willing to go to them and bring God's word to them and bring them the truth. We are in need of a difference maker. Our friends, our family are in need of difference makers. The young people that look up to us every single day are in need of difference makers in their life. Will you be a difference maker? Will you see the need that is in front of you? So point number one is that the mess for the difference maker. The second point is the marks of difference maker. Let's go to Matthew chapter number 5. The marks of a difference maker. And yes, I have 3 points. They're all going to start with M. It just worked out that way. I have no control over it. The marks of a difference maker. In Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 13, it says, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candlestick, but put it under and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house." And so we see this picture, these two things. Jesus is talking to his disciples and saying, you in particular are these two things. You are salt, you're light. What is salt? Well, salt is an agent of change, as Pastor Hubert says so many times. An agent of change. It is something that we put salt on our roads in the winter. Why? Because we wanted to change the natural progression of winter, ice, snow. We wanted to change. We want to be different, right? And so he's saying that we are the salt of these change agents. Verse number 16. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? And glorify your Father which is in heaven." The first mark of a difference maker is his godly example. His godly example. Moody said this. D.L. Moody said, "A holy life will make the deepest impression. Lighthouses blow no horn. They just shine. They just shine." And the world looks at people like you and me. They think that we're weird. They think that we're different. But who do they run to when everything breaks down? They don't run to their buddies at the bar. They run to the difference maker. They run to that lighthouse. So we as difference makers, a mark of a difference maker is one that will simply have an example, be an example to those around them. So the logical question here is, what kind of example are you? As people see you in the grocery store, when they see you going about town, about your daily business, is there something different about you that shines your light so that they not just see you, not just see Walker Bible Baptist Church, but we want them to see who? We want them to see your Father. We want them to look at your life and the actions that you do and how you live your life. So that they will see your works and glorify your Father. The first mark of a difference maker is that one that will live a godly example. Let's go to Proverbs chapter number 11. Proverbs chapter 11, and we'll look in verse number 30. Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 30 says this. "The fruits of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that wins the souls is wise." The second mark of a difference maker is one that is passionate for souls. The biggest impact that you can have on a life is to bring one to Jesus Christ. Dr. J. Wilbur Chapman pointed out that there are 40 people that Jesus healed in the Bible. The Bible speaks of 40 people. Of those 40 people, 34 of them were brought to Jesus Christ by somebody else. Only 6 people that Jesus healed found Jesus by himself. People are in need for us to go out there and take his word and make a difference in their life. What's going to change a broken home is not counseling, it's not get-togethers or social events. It is the power of Jesus Christ. What's going to break down an alcoholic? It's not going to be AA. It's not going to be anything else but the gospel of Jesus Christ. What's going to heal a broken heart? It's not laughter. It's Jesus Christ. What's going to help somebody when all the world is falling apart? It's not their friends and family. It's Jesus Christ. Introducing someone to Jesus Christ is the biggest change that anybody can make in the life of a human being. So, I want you to do this. I want you to close your eyes. I want everybody to close your eyes. I want you to picture the face of the last person that you led to the Lord Jesus Christ. Does an image pop up? Do you see someone that you personally sat down and talked to about Jesus Christ and accepted him as Savior? That's a work that only Jesus Christ can do. Well, he can do that only through you. You can look up at me now. That person that in your mind, how long ago was that? If we're about making it, if we're going to be about making a difference, I can't rely on the person I led to the Lord 10 years ago, right? What happens 10 years to now? Again, that is a work that only Jesus Christ can do. But he will only do it through you. He will only do that by you going out there and being bold and taking a track and talking to somebody. It'll only happen by you taking a door hanger and putting something on their door and allowing the gospel to get into your life. It'll only happen by you taking a stand when your coworkers are joking about things that they shouldn't be talking about and you bringing up Jesus Christ. It will only happen when you take an initiative and you be that difference maker. There are people all around us that are in need of a Savior.
Yes, sir.
Will you be that difference maker? Let's go to James chapter number 5. James chapter number 5 and verse number 16. It says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The word availeth means accomplishes, it completes a task. The Bible is saying here that the fervent, righteous prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There is power in prayer. The third mark of a difference maker is one that is bathed in prayer. Praying for one another. In this case, it says, pray one another for what purpose? That you may be healed, right? That's what the context, that's what the verse says. How often do you pray for the person sitting next to you? And we hear missionary stories, missionaries come here all the time, and they want you to support them. They want you to give money. That's one thing. Every single missionary come through here, just as important as giving money was, too, they coveted your prayers. Because God does things through the prayer of his saints. He loves it when his people get a hold of him, come before the throne of grace and find mercy and grace and go out there and change the world through prayer. We hear missionary stories all the time that about how prayer did something miraculous and did something wonderful. We just heard Mrs. Martinez, her family prayed, and what happened? They saw God move. They saw God work. There's a difference being made. Why do we have prayer meeting on Wednesday nights? Why do we take the time and go before the Lord? Because prayer works. Prayer affects things. Prayer makes a difference in lives. But are we quick to go to something else? Are we quick to, oh, I need to do this. I know the answer to this. I can. Or are we quick to seek the face of the Lord? When we hear these prayer requests, is it something that we jot down and on Wednesday nights and now Thursday morning comes by, Friday morning comes by, and I can't find the piece of paper? How fervently are we praying for the things that God wants, for the things that come by our way? Time and time again, we see that the prayer of God's saints have great power if we're willing to be difference makers. If we're willing to change the environment around us. Let's go to Jude. Jude, chapter 1, since there's only one. And verse number 22, Jude 22. And some have compassion, making a difference. The fourth mark of a difference maker is one that loves people. One that will have compassion on people. As a teenager, I was this phrase was kind of drilled into my mind. People don't care how much that you know until they know how much you care. If you're going to be a difference maker, you got to stop looking at yourself and look at the world around you and love people. Yes, people are going to hurt you. People are going to be mean. People are going to be nasty. People are going to dress differently. They're going to look differently. They're going to talk differently. But we ought to be loving people. Most of us, probably every, I would say every single person in here has somebody that loved them enough to change their life. Each one of us has a person that if we close our eyes again and thought of the person that invested their life into us and loved us, we can think of that person. But are you that person to somebody else? When somebody else closes their eyes and thinks about the person that has poured their life into them, would your name pop up? Would your face pop up? Every year at Lake Ontario Baptist Academy, we choose the Lobo Lion Award. And that is given to the student that most, that we as a staff think is most characteristic of Jesus Christ. And one of the major things that, it's a secret, don't tell the teens, but one of the things we looked at is how they're interacting with others. Do they love people? Do they love the people underneath them so much that they would not be mean to them? That's kind of borderline. That's kind of, I guess, at the top of the barrel there. But do they invest in their, do you talk with them? Do they just kick them out on the curb? How do they interact with those? Because there are people all around us that are looking up to us. She wouldn't be in here. So where we're at Toledo, there was a group of young people that decided to get together and talk about the things that were being spoken about at camp. And it was a great time. It really touched my heart. But I have a picture on my phone. I see this group of teenagers, and I see Lucy Humby sitting in the background, not saying anything, just watching. I have a picture of a younger person looking at a teenager, and that's going to have an impact on her life. Because a group of teenagers decided to look behind themselves and start looking at what God was talking to them about. Because a group of people decided to include a younger person into what the things that, of God that are going on. And that's only a fraction of what we see. That is one example that was just sitting there obvious. But what about all the things that are not obvious? People looking up. People that will be impacted whether you choose right or when you choose wrong. People are going to be impacted. The Bible tells us that no man live unto himself and no man die unto himself. How much do you love the people around you? How much are you willing to make a difference in their lives? That requires you, again, looking away from yourselves and looking at others. People are seeking those that will love those people that will love them. That's what makes up a bus ministry, by the way. A bus ministry is kids from all walks of life coming to in search of somebody that would just simply love them, that would invest their time into them, that would show that they care. That's going to be an impact. That's a life changer. By the way, I was one of those bus kids that somebody loved me enough to change my life. Hey, will you be a difference maker? So we've seen the need, the mess of the difference makers. We see the marks of the difference makers. Lastly, we'll look at the making of a difference maker. How can I become a difference maker? Let's go to Second Timothy chapter number 2. Second Timothy chapter number 2. And I am running low on time, so I want to say this. Being a difference maker is a choice. It is a choice that we make every single day. The first choice is to plug into God's Word. To plug into God's Word. 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It is a person, difference maker is a person that will study and will read into God's word. Psalm chapter 1, verse number 2 tells us that we are to meditate on the word of God day and night. Psalm 119, verse number 165 tells us that we should love the word of God. We should seek after it. Actually, there's four different verses in Psalm 119 talking about how the psalmist loves the word of God. He wanted to meditate on the word of God. He craved the word of God. Is that you? Pastor Russo tells us all the time, people can't get anything you don't got anything to give them. The words he uses specifically, I have them written down. You cannot give what you cannot. You cannot give what you do not have. We have a message, but our message is not what we have in and of ourselves. Our message is the word of God. How can I give people the word of God if I'm not plugged into it? If I'm not impacting myself because of it? It is a decision. It is a decision to be plugged into the word of God. This decision requires a commitment. This decision requires a memorial. When I was a teenager, I really wanted to read my Bible. I really wanted to make sure that every morning I wake up to read my Bible. So I had a bunk bed with my younger brother at the time. My older brother had moved out, and we had this bunk bed. And so I decided that I'm going to make a memorial. This may sound silly, but on the ceiling I wrote "Read your Bible." On the side here I wrote "Read your Bible." On the other side I wrote "Read your Bible." So no matter where I woke up, the first thing I saw was, read your Bible. It sounds simple and really simplistic or childish, but those things we need. We need to be reminded of the decisions that we make. That's why we have decision cards at camp, to remind us of the decisions that God has impressed upon our hearts when we're not around Christian people any longer. So at camp, we're around. Anyways, the second thing is, let's go to John chapter 1. That's supposed to be James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Verse number 25. James 1, verse number 25. It says, but whoso looketh unto the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. To be a difference maker, it is a choice to change. It is a choice to change. I think Pastor Russo said this as well. The mark of Christianity, a Christian maturity, is the willingness to change. When I hear, we can all admit that we're not perfect, correct? And we not being perfect, if we want to impact others, we need to make changes in our life. And we teach little kids, this is what the Bible says. This is what the Bible says. This is what the Bible says. And teenagers, we teach, this is what the Bible says. This is why the Bible says. Oh, this is why you should do it. This is what the Bible says. This is why we should do it. Now, as adults, this is what the Bible says. Actually, as teenagers, too. This is what the Bible says. How does this affect my life? This is what the Bible says. What changes do I need to make to reflect what the Bible says? The mark of Christianity is willing to make a change, the ability and the willingness to make a change. Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 13 tells us that God is will continue the work that he's doing in your life. But we got to be able to be willing to change. Not being forgetful here, but a doer of the work. This man should be blessed in his deeds, right? If you want to be a difference maker, if you want to change your world for Jesus Christ, it requires you to change as well. Change into what? The image of Jesus Christ. The third decision is Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The third change is be willing to be filled with Jesus Christ. Again, this world has something that we cannot offer them. And it takes, and they need something that is more than what we can give them. We need the filling of Jesus Christ. We need the filling of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. We need, this choice is a commitment. This choice requires a commitment. Every single day, getting along with the Lord and choosing to empty yourself of self. We've heard so many messages about that recently, especially in Toledo. So many messages. Emptying yourself of yourself so that you can be filled with the Spirit. They need something shining through you. You're just a vessel. The Bible tells us that earthen vessel. We need what's in there. We need the Holy Spirit. Every single day of our lives, being filled with the Spirit. That's how you become difference makers. A young boy heard that a circus was coming to town, and he saw all the posters announcing the circus around town. He had faithfully saved his money so that he could attend. Finally, the day of the circus arrived, and the boy rushed down to Main Street and saw the parade of clowns, lions, acrobats, and the band. When the parade was over, he walked up to the circus master and paid his money and went home. It was not until years later, after he had learned that the circus was held in a large tent at the edge of town, the boy settled for the parade and missed the circus. He missed the real thing and prayed that he will take action. He missed the real thing. He settled for just the parade when he was looking for the circus. Hey, don't settle. Be a difference maker. Don't look at the things around you and say, I want to serve God and settle for what the world has to offer. Be purpose, be determined, be a difference maker. The world needs you. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you so much for your goodness, Lord. I thank you for just this idea that you put in my heart, Lord. I pray that you would continue to press this message upon the hearts of